We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Jake's here off of Marsh Lane and Walnut Hill. Come on, swing by. Somebody's winning these Rangers tickets today. It might as well be you, and you might as well go ahead and get a burger and some brews while you're at it
as well.
Four lucky winners get a limited edition baseball jersey that says Jake's on the front. It's green. It looks amazing. And you got some pint glasses that you can also get for the 40th anniversary of Jake's while you're here. Say hi to Fred. Say hi to myself. And let's have a good day. It is Friday, so
hey, everybody,
might as well have a take a load off Friday. We do turn our attention now to our friend Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She is the knower of numbers, and she has been to pretty much all the camps. Cynthia, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. I love camp time because, number one, everyone thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, which is great. And, you know, number two, I like the heat. I don't get, you know, in Southern California, we don't get, like, the crazy heat, like, some of the other places, so I haven't had humidity in a while, so it was fun.
What is what's the best camp to go to? Because we get to go out to the Cowboys experience, you know, once a year. We get to go see that out in Oxnard.
Yes.
What's the best environment that you've experienced so far?
Oh, well, I was in Detroit on the day when they had puppies, so it's really hard to, you know, like, rescue dogs, like, really make things, like, pretty incredible. But
yes,
I mean, the Raiders was cool too, because we were inside. But I don't know, like, I because and when you go to Raiders for work, you know, you just get good meals on the road in Vegas, so I think they're all pretty awesome. But I think if I had to pick one of, like, all of the ones I've ever been to, riding the bikes in Green Bay is pretty cool.
Okay. All right. See, and that's the thing, Fred, like, when we go to spring training, mm-hmm. I tell people, make that a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Like, spring training's awesome. You can see, like, 10 games in one day, it feels like, sometimes. So I'm always trying to figure out if the bucket list for NFL camps. So I appreciate that, Cynthia.
Of course.
You did have the breaking news earlier in the week that it's unlikely that Micah Parsons plays for the Cowboys. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you heard and what you're feeling from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like everyone else, it's hard to imagine that actually happening, because
yes.
this is the timeline that the Cowboys go along basically every single season, at least since 2015 with Dez, right? So ultimately, you know, this is something that happens. Last year, Dak didn't sign until, you know, literally the day of the first game. So we're used to this cadence. However, I think that, you know, it's different. A pass rusher's market this late in the game is, and especially one that's as talented as Micah, is just so much easier to plug and play than a quarterback, right? Dak's probably not switching teams later in the game because it'd be really hard to do a reinstall, et cetera, et cetera. So your leverage is a little bit different. And the fact that no one has really talked to Athletes Versus and Dave Milligata, that's interesting as well. So while my source said that they think it's unlikely, I'm like, are you sure? Because I feel like this is always what the Cowboys do. And as far as control goes and the contract goes, the Cowboys do have control of the situation more than if there were some sort of free agency involved. But, you know, that I feel as though they're at least, you know, fielding offers, or, it, you know, their calls are coming. Now, if they're listening to those calls, that's a different question. But
gotcha.
Calls are coming in more kind of with more reality behind them than other times. Again, I don't imagine it, but my source said that it's more likely that he doesn't than in years past with other types of clients and other types of players.
Cynthia, appreciate having you on. We had a barbershop in McKinney that said they wanted to let you know that you got all their love. So,
mm-hmm. yep.
And they are big Cynthia fans. So there you go.
Aww.
So you, the DFW is in full effect.
Let's go.
100%. So again, and you've been doing this a long time. So, you know, and you're echoing a lot of what people here in Dallas think. It's like, yeah, he can send that trade request out, but more than likely it's going to get done in the sloppy fashion that it gets done in Cowboys world. What made your source think that this was going to be different?
I think the fact that the market is, like, because of the difference from the player, like, positional standpoint, like, you know, there are 31 other teams that could find a use for him in, like, 2 seconds without having to do much to reconfigure their other players. So I think a lot of it has to do with that, and the value that Micah has, considering the number of snaps he plays, isn't as high as some of the other of his contemporaries, would command something that would at least be interesting in the trade market perspective. Whereas you're going to, you know, a lot of times a player's demand closer to the season starting goes down because of what we talked about before, installs, trying to figure out how they fit within a system, organizational structure, trying to figure out a 53-man roster, how much money do we keep in the cap for injury considerations, et cetera, it becomes harder. Well, now you have this plug-and-play piece that literally any day of the season, you know, week 17, Micah could go on a team and be impactful from day one.
Cynthia, we also got a number of people texting in saying that you've helped them win fantasy games in the past and fantasy seasons. So you keep that up and let them know. Let them know right now where they can get the best fantasy advice from you or the best advice for those things.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got Fantasy Live coming back on NFL Network. And, you know, I'm on Twitter at C Freeland and Instagram at Cynthia Freeland. So either one, we'll have a lot of good stuff. And Numbers Games coming back, my YouTube show. So we'll have a lot of good notes there. And some of this camps, like, I feel like sleeper picks are kind of my, like, favorite ones to do because, you know, we can fight all day. Do you want Saquon? Do you want Bijan? Okay, whatever. Comes down to your draft position. But if you can get, like, the Trey Tuckers of the world, now we're talking about it. Like, those guys later round picks that you could potentially slide in, and they give you that upside, especially later in the season when you really need it when injuries start to strike.
All right, I know, and people might get upset about this. I love fantasy football. As a matter of fact, the Jakes that we're out today, they are going to be hosting my fantasy football draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. I'm really excited about that. But the when it comes to Dak and George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, not just the fantasy numbers, but the expectation, the expected numbers for what those guys are going to do this season, Dak's kind of been in this weird place where you're like, is he elite? Is he just regular 13, you know, in middle of pack, trying to figure out. But adding George Pickens definitely adds some pop to what this team is, right?
Well, I'm going to ask you again. This one actually comes back to our initial discussion of Micah, because if Micah's playing, then the defense will not be as leaky, right? If Mike is not playing, then I think the numbers, I'm talking about fantasy, well, real life too, but, you know, think about it like that, right? Like, how much more will they need should they not have as strong of a defense? So
right.
I think a lot of those numbers come down to the complementary aspect of how good the defense will be. Like, for example, you know, you want to target a ton of those Cincinnati Bengals because I'm very confused about their defense, and that even includes if Trey Hendrickson plays. So, you know, that's the type of thing where for fantasy, you know, you just got to kind of remember, we all like wins. When you're a Cowboys fan, your most important number is wins. When you're a fantasy fan or you're trying to pick your fantasy team, you want to make sure you're getting the most points possible. So look for those teams that have, you know, offenses that are forced to overcome some deficiencies on the defense.
Cynthia Freeland joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. You mentioned earlier that you go to a lot of different camps, so you get the vibes and what have you. God bless you for liking humidity. Just don't stay in it too long. After 12 years in Houston, I can speak to that.
That's because I get to leave it.
Well, exactly, right? You're just kind of cherry-picking on the humidity. God bless you for that.
That's right.
So, and one thing you mentioned that stuck out, and because, again, this is, everybody, it's rainbows and unicorns right now for everybody.
That's right.
But my question for you, and you don't have to name names, quarterbacks notwithstanding, what's the difference that you notice or sense with the teams that say they have Super Bowl aspirations and they're just saying it versus the teams that legitimately do?
I think it's an easiness, meaning when they're in practice, they balance like a hard practice, but it's an easy, they have an easy way about them. Like, it sounds weird to be like the vibes, right? But the vibes are in check. Like, you see a lot of players telling each other, like, hey, you know, when you're running this route, blah, 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 blah. And they're helping each other out because they're super focused, but they're also laughing and having fun and not messing around, but like keeping it light because this is a game after all. And the more that they love it, the better they'll do. For example, you know, I actually spend some extended time with the Broncos. And Evan Ingram, the way he's folded into this offense and the way he's also able, as a veteran coming onto this team to, you know, obviously Bo is a second-season quarterback, and there are some things when you're adjusting to each other and forming a new chemistry, they have great communication, and you can see it, you can hear it, but it doesn't feel like, you know, it's not, like, tense. It's like, oh, okay, cool. All right, let's do this. Okay, great. Like, let's help each other out a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Bo Nix, because we constantly have that conversation with, I think Sean Payton's a fantastic offensive mind. The skill set of Bo Nix, that marriage that they've had, was really fun last year. It was an absolute blast to watch, and I kind of got ahead of it because of preseason. They ran their preseason like he was going to run it in the season, so I was like, this guy actually might have something this year. What is the belief with Sean Payton and Bo Nix? Because there were a lot of question marks about what he was. He's legit. He feels legit to me.
Yeah, I mean, making the playoffs is a pretty good legit meter. But here's what I'm going to say. This team feels to me as they'll go the way their run game goes, because that was the kind of missing piece of the puzzle. Bringing in Evan Engram, I mean, okay, let's just put this aside. For fantasy purposes, yes, Evan Engram is going to totally be someone you want to target. All right, that's aside, because we know Sean Payton loves him, a tight end who can catch passes. Done. Mm. Now, with the run game, I think, you know, when you draft a running back, you know, not Jadae Barron, that was their first round pick, the corner, but, you know, you draft a running back and then you get rid of Javonte Williams, but, you know, you say, this is the focus of the team. Well, then you look back at, like, what was last year? Well, Javonte Williams, I think his total yards, and he led the team, were the second fewest for any team leader, just behind Las Vegas. So the point is the run game was not a source of strength. And if there's one thing you know about Sean, and there's one thing we all know about Sean, he wants to have the Alvin Kamara chess piece run game, but like a short pass that imitates a run and effectively acts as a run. Doesn't really matter, right? But he wants to have that. So getting rid of Javonte Williams signaled that they didn't have the right pieces in place. So I think the run game will be a huge emphasis in this preseason, but also I think that will dictate a lot of what their aspirations are for this team, because, you know, they're in a second season. Bo will have it'll be a little trickier because teams are now be defending him specifically, at least to begin with. And this defense is already awesome, but, you know, every single season you got to see, okay, does Jadae Barron fold in nicely? Are they going to play with Riley Moss? You know, are they playing with, you know, five defensive backs every night? Like, what's going on? So, you know, this team will go how the run game goes.
You said getting rid of Javonte Williams. We got Javonte Williams here, yep, in Dallas. Are we okay? Said getting rid of, like, he's just kind of throw it out there.
Well, I say it like that because, you know, Bo wouldn't have worked for every coach, and okay, Javonte doesn't work for Sean, right?
Okay.
Because the point is fit matters a ton.
So
right?
Much.
Javonte, yeah. By the way, if you need to ask Javonte, when we did coverage of him at the Combine, I believe his nickname was Pookie.
Okay.
So you should ask him about that. I believe that was his nickname. anyways, I love it. But I think the point is what the strategy of how you want to run your – in, you know, listen, the Cowboys, the run game, the run aspect of the Cowboys is completely different. When you close your eyes and you think of Cowboys run, you get a much – different look than when you,
yes,
think about Sean Payton's running backs.
Agreed.
Over the course of the year. So the fit with Javonte Williams wasn't right. I actually think the fit is very nice with the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to asterisk there because nobody loved Tyler Booker being signed more than me, but maybe all of Dallas, but other than that, you know, you still don't replace, five more years until we'll see him in Canton. Like,
yeah,
this is a guy who's not just a Hall of Famer, but like a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. You don't easily replace him, even if you get a guy who looks really good.
Cynthia, you mentioned the Cowboys run game. We got a nugget yesterday that our guy Babe Loffenberg dropped on us, that this was the first time ever where Shoddy is going to be able to call plays. I mean, he's called plays, but he's always called plays for defensive-minded head coaches, right? So we don't know, let's call it what it is. We've never kind of thought of Shoddy as, quote-unquote, an innovative offensive mind. Now, could that be because of the coaches he's coached under? We don't know. What are you expecting with the Shoddy/Clayton Adams, you know, offensive mindset going into 2025?
I like it. I think it maybe wasn't like, look, you're the Cowboys, so every hire is going to be meticulously scrutinized in various ways with various levels of rigor, right? Like, meaning like how worked up someone on TV may want to get. But if you're looking at the track record and you're looking at consistency and you're looking at someone who knows football and fundamentals and the things that matter as you're trying to sort out, you know, a team that's had you know, I think Dallas every year thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl, so it's a disappointment. You know, I never once this time of year I'm like, you know, Dallas is just going to be happy if they win eight games. Like,
no,
never.
Nope,
right?
We aren't.
So the expectations are sky high always, and now you have someone who's like a football, like obviously, you know, they've all been football guys, but you know, like this is a fundamentals. He's not loud. He's not boisterous. Like he seems like a solid. I mean, I don't want to call him boring because I don't think he's boring, but for Dallas and like all of the fanfare around Dallas, I think having someone who's a little bit, I'm going to use the word calmer, is a great thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, no, I do.
And I don't know the right word for it. Like he seems like an adult. You know, like he's just like an adult.
Yeah. And that's got to be a good presence. Hopefully it is. Cynthia, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to talking to you again during the season. Go follow her right now on Twitter and all the social medias, at C. Freeland on Twitter, where she is kissing math, literally, on her picture there. So get after it. And Cynthia, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Enjoy the last bits of summer.
Almost there. Almost there to nice cool weather in Texas, which will be like, you know, 95. Is kind of what we're looking forward to there. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the Lunch Rush, the Expressway, Fair or Foul with Fred Davis. Next on the Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we are at Jake's off of Walnut Hill and Marsh Lane. So if you're dropping anybody off over at Love Field, I mean, just swing on by. That's a good opportunity for you to say, I dropped you off at the airport, sending you on your way, and now I'm going to go try and get myself some Rangers tickets. You come in here, walk right over to the right-hand side, and there are some amazing ladies that are taking care of you right now. They will possibly hook you up with a 40th anniversary collector's pint glass. You could win a limited edition Jake's baseball jersey, or this Rangers two tickets, compliments, and new vodka to the Lexus Club seats. All you can eat and drink. I don't know if that's all you can drink, Fred, but I'm sure you can drink while you're there also. But it's going to be Rangers Astros, and I think that's a big one right there. Somebody's going to win
the Lexus thing?
At the Lexus Club, yeah. It says all you can eat.
I feel like it. No, I mean, I don't know. I know I was at the Lexus Club about a month or so ago with my boy Mike. The food was
it's
silly
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Silly good.
So I think it's going to be important for you to swing on through and get yourself that opportunity today.
I do think you can drink all you can, though.
Okay.
Or all you want. But 877-81.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah, just find out.
What do I know?
Right now, though, it is time for Fair or Foul with Fred Davis.
You guys know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for a little Fair or Foul. I'm going to read a story, maybe tell a personal anecdote, something along those lines to all you Tolos fatties and everybody in between out there, as well as my boy Corey Majors. I've also got one of Dallas's finest here as well, a.k.a. my cousin.
Oh, nice!
Who's here at Jake's. Also, all you fatties out there know about our boy Stevie B. So just keeping the streets of Dallas safe.
He's a cop?
He absolutely is.
Is he overcover or undercover? Right now, he looks like a dude.
That's him.
Cops
that's
are dudes.
Him. That's exactly right.
That's pretty good
exactly
thing to know.
Right. That's why we're family. You just don't know what you're going to get. So here's the deal. Now, this may apply to some of you out there, but let's hope that it doesn't. Who doesn't appreciate a good Florida man story? I know I certainly do. A Florida man who said, I do. Not once, not twice, but three times has been sentenced for his felony bigamy conviction. Henry Betsy Jr. was sentenced to 2 years probation on July 31st after being convicted of being married three separate times to three separate women at the same time, according to ABC Action News and WKRC. The Deacon Herald reported that none of the women were aware that Betsy was married to any of the other women. I don't know if that's on him or them. And that he married the women in separate counties, helping him avoid detection from the state as well. The 50-year-old Betsy pleaded guilty to the felony bigamy charge in May, according to ABC Action News. The outlet reported that he attended that court hearing with a new girlfriend by his side. My man just can't stop himself. However, at his sentencing, he was alone when he was confronted by all three women. Quote, he sold the perfect person when in reality, he was none of those things, said one of the wives, Tanya Betsy, who unraveled her husband's deception when she began searching his name in county databases across the state, revealing he was still married to two other women, Michelle Betsy and Brandy Betsy.
Okay.
Quote, she found me and she messaged me and I had no idea that she was actually still married to him. At the sentencing, the wives all said they met Betsy on dating websites and married him at their local courthouses. Quote, he said all the right things. And for those of you out there that need to spruce up your dating profile, this is what his said, quote, looking for a beautiful woman who understands the ups and downs of life, but wait for it, is trustworthy and no games.
No games.
No
very
games.
Important. Very important.
He doesn't want you to play
He's
him.
He's playing games.
He'll play him.
Yeah.
But he can't have two of you guys
That's
doing
true,
it.
Because then you, if you're not playing the same game, you're over here playing life, they're playing Monopoly.
It
screwing
look,
everything
that
up.
Never ends well. The women told the court last week that Betsy's own games began in November of 2020 when he first married Tanya after meeting her on Tinder. Looking at you, Stevie B.
Okay.
Betsy then married Brandy in February 2022 after they met on Stir.
Stir. What's
you
Stir?
You on that one?
What's Stir?
You on that one? Okay. He didn't
right.
know that one. And then they tied a third knot with Michelle in November of 2022. So my man got married three times in less than 2 years. 3 weeks after they met on Match.com. I didn't know people still went to that dating site. The three women told the court they believed Betsy married them to gain access to their finances. Okay. Steve said, watch out for plenty of fish. Betsy reportedly acknowledged, or excuse me, he apologized to the three women and their families, as well as to his, quote, I want to apologize to the ladies, and I want to apologize to the court administration and my family and friends that had to be involved in this, because ultimately this is something that I didn't wish to be a part of, said the three-time husband. Fair or foul? Marrying three women in three different counties at three different courthouses
should be
and
legal
then
everywhere.
Telling them on your dating profile that you want somebody trustworthy who doesn't play games.
How are you going to get more wives if you tell them
what the deal is?
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And also, we always ask this question. What's the most important thing in a relationship?
What is the most
It
important?
Is trust.
Trust, right?
Because if you can't completely trust
what,
a woman...
That's what Mr. Betsy said.
Then how do you know she's not going to tell your wife? You know, like, that's a very important thing is to know that she's not going to say, give you up. And this guy obviously feels like he can trust these three, at least. It sounds like.
Well,
could.
Here's... I'm going to call it fair because let's call it what it is, ladies. If you're that ignorant that you can't tell that this dude's married two other women at the same time, that's a you problem.
Okay, hold on. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
How do you... That's. I don't want to do that because I'm lazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have
you've
to...
You've been married 20 years,
yeah,
so
but
you're,
at the same time,
you're in it to win.
Can
it.
You imagine, though, having to juggle three... Not
well,
just
that's
relationships.
What my point is.
Three
like,
marriages.
The fact that he's been married three times to three women at the same time, I applaud this man for his undying devotion. It's one thing to till death do us part once, but to do it twice and then three times. And the fact that he did it on Stir, I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
Okay, we all know Tinder. Uh-huh. We all know somebody that's on Tinder, been on Tinder, you know, may or may not be looking at my cousin right now. Match.com.
Grindr.
Wow.
Bubble.
Wow. See,
Bubble,
I wasn't what I, are the, I wasn't going to go.
Is that not one of them?
I wasn't going to go there.
Okay.
I
just heard, again, been married for almost 20 years now, so I have no
Holy
clue.
Holy Toledo.
What are we
Holy
talking
Toledo.
About here? What happened?
I don't. Is gay marriage allowed in Florida?
Oh, man. I, See, is that what Grindr is?
You're just now finding that out?
Yep.
You're just now finding
I'm
that out?
I'm glad I didn't Google that one.
Wow.
So, or, well,
wow.
I mean, you know what?
Wow.
Everybody has their own lives, you know?
Needless to say, Mr. Stir. Betsy,
where
not on
Stir is where single parents meet.
Oh, he is diabolical.
That's where single parents
he
meet.
He is diabolical.
So you're finding a woman that like, has a kid.
Vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
Needs
a lot in
I
life.
I would be, I'll tell you what, not that you know, I prey on women with kids because Lord knows I don't. But that said, I would love to know. And maybe AI could help us with this. I've told you guys this time and time again for all you fatties out there that listen to Fan After Dark with myself and Mr. Blake Elliott. Anytime you see a woman that writes, my kids are my world, in her dating profile, get the hell out of there.
Why's that?
Okay.
Well, hold on. You have kids?
Yeah, they're not my world, though. Okay? They are not my world. I love them unconditionally, but they're not my world. All right, and they know that.
And you know what? They have
and
their
they
own.
Know
they
that.
Have their own worlds too.
They absolutely have their own world.
They prove
I would
that.
Expect them to have their own world. See, when your kids are your world, that leads to problems.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in the situation we're in with kids today because women decided to make kids their world.
The
man,
You did night radio one.
I wasn't ready to go that direction with it. And I'm not. I'm still not sure I'm ready to go exactly that direction, but we're in this place that we are today.
I mean, there's a whole host of reasons.
Because mommies
have
made...
But that's an underlying factor.
Okay.
In my, look, 877-881-1053. Text in today. Today, this hour, whatever. We're on till 2. If you've ever been with a woman that said her kids were her world, tell me how that went.
Okay.
Tell me how that went.
And that doesn't count for me because I'm my wife's world. You know, like that's a
see,
obviously,
and your kids are in pretty good shape.
Thank you, Alec.
Your kids are in good shape.
Yeah, so that
are
makes,
they not?
Yeah, that makes that's you know what it started there first. You know, I like the nest is important. The nest is important right. to me. So my world is revolves around them.
That's it.
But she thinks the world of me first.
That's it.
I think
without I'm Corey.
Yeah, look. I'm really hoping. Man, the internet's a weird place,
it's a wild
to,
place
to
dude.
Meet people though, because I have a. Family member,
yeah.
Who she met a man on FarmersOnly.com, and evidently,
you know how women are.
Evidently, this dude had taken like 8 women for all their money.
Of course, first of all, who's on Farmers Meat?
And she was
a farmer. Did she really think she's gonna meet a farmer?
She was the next one. She was a farmer. That's why she was there, because she was a farmer. She had her big huge ranch. And some there was a guy that was like, you know what? I have a big, huge ranch. Let's merge our ranches and let me get access to all of your stuff.
Shouldn't that be? I mean, and again, where her kids are world?
No, those kids were all adults and gone. So
she was adult. She was grown.
She
up
was
by
grown,
then.
Grown ass woman. Yeah, she had, but she just kind of she was lonely off in that ranch by herself, thinking about. Farming.
Man, I just, at some point, though, don't you have to be, I would think that aren't there telltale signs, ladies?
Okay. Like the guy's not frequently not around. That's got to be one of them.
I mean, in this case, okay? I mean, think about it.
How does he communicate with the others?
I mean, now, I'm curious as to, it doesn't say anything about what he told the women their his job was. Because my first, quote-unquote, red flag, all right?
Travel a lot.
Do you travel? I mean, are you a traveling salesperson?
Yeah.
Is that why you're gone all the time? Because
yeah.
In today's day and age, a lot of people work remotely.
Yeah, there's not a lot of door-to-door vacuum salesmen anymore.
There sure aren't.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
sure aren't.
Remember the old days when they'd knock and they'd say, this is a rainbow.
Oh, trust me. If somebody's done his fair share of door knocking in today's day and age, I mean, there's nothing more demeaning and humiliating than knocking on a door and the person's looking out at you through their window and just kind of mean mugs you and then goes away.
Uh-huh.
It's like, bro, my
nobody's
shirt says
here.
Roofing on it.
Nobody's
God's
here.
Sake. What do you think I'm doing?
Yeah, that can
by the way, so real quick, we've got a real life person here.
Okay.
And my boy Stevie B. And again, he met his current young lady on Tinder.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I was busting his chops for a little bit because I wasn't sure if she was catfishing him.
Okay.
But by a show of thumbs up, so far, so good. She's back in Dallas. All is well.
She's real. That's the most. This is the most important thing.
That's
Monty Teo. Monty Teo. You don't want that moment.
I
where
was
you're
a little
like,
concerned.
I don't know what's
Steve
happening.
Steve knows this.
Yeah.
And you know, me and Steve and so Steve's mother and my father are brother and sister. And so I'm the oldest cousin. Steve's the youngest.
And you're looking out right? for him. You're just trying to watch out.
There's a 17-year age gap between us.
Yeah.
And so I'm here. To try and help him out, to let him know, like, the high. As I tell Steve, and he knows this, do as I say, not as I do.
Man, that's an important thing.
Do as I say.
Just kind of observe. I had a friend in school growing up as a kid, and everything he did was wrong, all right? Like, everything.
Yeah.
And my dad told me, he said, you watch what he does and
do the
exact
opposite. Yeah.
All right? Because you're
going to,
I don't want you going down that path. And it seemed to have worked out for me. From the 903, Corey, Lucy is Corey's world. My daughter definitely is. Like, that is, I will say.
Well, luckily, I'm not trying to date you,
we
are in good shape.
She is definitely like.
But that's it. But you know what, though? That's your daughter, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the father-daughter.
Very unique.
Daddy's girl dynamic.
Very unique.
My daughter and I, like, my daughter can call me right now and ask for something. and I'm gonna make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there is that. Now, my son, I'm gonna give. You know, he and I might box each other first, but my daughter, my oldest daughter, who you know, my first child, who's 22, you know, she's in Houston. Yes, to that extent. Again, the father-daughter dynamic is very real. The daddy's girl dynamic is very real. That's why, hey, go to any strip club across America. Where's the dad? Where's the ask the dad? Where's he at? Not here, is he?
Oh, okay.
Didn't think so. Didn't think so. What Chris Rock? Yeah, Chris Rock. What'd he tell you as a father of a daughter? What's your job?
No sex in the champagne room.
Well, that too.
Okay.
But he said your job as a father, keep your daughter off the pole.
That is okay? Very. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Fred, for that work right there. Great stuff.
You're welcome.
Hey, and by the way, don't forget our friend Cynthia Freeland, who we just talked to moments ago. She's going to be doing the Broncos Niners game. She's covering that one.
Nice.
So check her out. Always, she's a good friend of ours, and we really like it. All right, right now it is time to go back out to Oxnard, California. How quickly will we be in L.A. as Kyle Yeomans joins us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kyle, how are we doing today, man?
Doing fantastic, gentlemen. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes.
Glad to get back to Dallas with you guys, though.
Hold on. You're here already?
No. I'm coming back this weekend after the game.
Okay. So you're going to be over there at SoFi tomorrow night then, huh?
Yeah, I'll be on the pregame show starting at 3 Central, and then I'll be on the sideline for the broadcast starting at 4 Central.
Okay. Good. I love to hear that. What is your boards as you're starting to, you know, get those in order in your mind and everything? What are the ones that you're like, okay, I really need to have this one circled. I need to be paying attention to this grouping on Saturday night, because a lot of times, Kyle, we watch the ball in most every sport. We watch the ball, and sometimes in football, there's a lot more going on than just the ball.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different areas. I think the first one is, how does this young offensive line block for guys like Joe Milton, Will Greer, and then whatever running backs are available? I know Jaden Blue suffered that bone bruise. He's probably unavailable going into the matchup tomorrow. We'll probably get confirmation or word from that by Brian Schottenheimer here in a little bit. But I think when it comes to the offensive line, you want to see guys like Nate Thomas. You want to see guys like Tyler Booker. Even if we get to see a short stint of Cooper Beebe, I mean, that's a guy that you want to see a little bit more of, and how he fares with the guy around you. Sorry, I'm having some trouble with my Bluetooth here.
Uh-oh.
I got you. You got me here?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, but I want to watch that offensive line. I want to see what Nate Thomas can do. I want to see what Tyler Booker can do, and kind of piece together what this offensive line is going like around the guys that are already solidified as starters.
Okay. Fred was asking a little bit more about Mozzie earlier to me, and I'm kind of curious the other guys around Mozzie that mm-hmm. might be taking on new roles here for the Cowboys defense in that area.
Well, I think, yeah, the big thing with Mozzie is you want to see consistency. He had the flashes at times last year, but has not looked up to par throughout training camp, and that's why you see guys like Jay Toia step into the one role and the two role every once in a while. Solomon Thomas and Osa Odighizuwa have been the one and two guys. That's your three technique and your one technique right now as training camp continues. And that's a knock on Mozzie. It really is. I mean, as a first-round player going into year three, you would anticipate him having some level of success, and he hasn't necessarily been there or done it yet. So I think to your point, Jay Toia is going to see a lot of snaps. I think Mozzie's going to see a lot of snaps.
Huh.
Those are guys that have had the up and down at different times throughout training camp, and it's not a position of surplus right now for this Cowboys team.
Kyle Yeomans joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline, talking all things Dallas Cowboys. They get ready for their first preseason game of the year tomorrow against the Los Angeles Rams. Let's talk a little bit about that secondary. We know that this is a position group. Hell, Steven talked about it this week, as far as that's a position that they're not, you know, they're not opposed to going outside and going and grabbing somebody. Who are some names, not named Kyer Elam and Deron Bland, that you're going to be keeping an eye on tomorrow as far as that could make an impact for this team?
It's funny that you say it that way, because those are really the only two guys that are solidified in that entire secondary, right?
That's true.
I mean, those are the only two guys you feel confident in entirely, because they've done it before, and at least Elam, you've seen it throughout the entire offseason. I mean, it starts with me with guys like Keybon Hall, a guy that has been around the building before, has stepped into the nickel cornerback spot. They're really focusing on him pretty exclusively in the nickel, and he's worked with both the first and second team, and that's not first or second team. It's first and second. They're getting him a ton of reps out there. Seems like he never really leaves the field here in Oxnard, and I anticipate a lot of that to stay the same going into the preseason matchup. I had a conversation with him yesterday, and he said it's the biggest opportunity of my career. He said, I've never had a chance to start in this league. And, of course, he did make the active roster for the first time with the Chargers a couple years back. He played in 16 games, mostly in a special teams role. And while he still values his role on special teams and knows that's how he can make a 53-man roster, because of the injuries in front of him and the revolving door at corner, he's been probably the most consistent throughout training camp, and the coaching staff has rewarded him as such. A couple other guys that I would like to see step up, Israel Mukwamu. I think he's had an up-and-down camp. Andrew Booth hasn't played super well throughout camp so far, but he was, of course, on the active roster last year, so can he solidify a spot too? And then a couple young guys like Zion Childress, an undrafted free agent who's flashed a couple big-time plays at camp, and he's been around the fold a little bit in terms of those secondary depth guys and special teams elements. I mean, all those guys have a chance to not only make the roster but earn some significant snaps going into the preseason.
Dak said yesterday that he doesn't think they're going to ask him to play tomorrow, but – if he does. Seriously, the backup quarterback situation, we talked a little bit about Joe Milton. I got to see him early in camp. I don't know how much he's changed since that first week and how much he's grown and developed. We know the athletic talent is there. He's bigger, taller than everybody you're going to see. He's got a rocket arm, as he talked about yesterday. But the development of seeing the field, how's he coming along with that?
Yeah, that's been the biggest problem, right? I mean, you guys saw it in the early parts of camp too, but he's got to have the right progression. He's got to have the right diagnosing of a scheme or the right read of a scheme opposite, and he's struggled with that at times. And then he's got to put the right touch on the ball. And so I think all those things have to come together. I thought yesterday that the Thursday practice here in Oxnard was the best practice Milton has had to this point. And it wasn't the deep ball. It wasn't the long throws and the rocket arm strength that he has. It was the fact that he put extra touch and extra finesse on a couple of his passes. He was able to find receivers in tight windows at a couple different opportunities, and he wasn't afraid to throw into those tight windows. That was
there we go.
That he struggled with early in camp, too. Does that mean it'll translate to Saturday? Who knows? I think it's going to be up to him ultimately on whether or not that'll translate. But for the first time in camp, I looked at Joe Milton yesterday and said, wow, this guy could actually be your second quarterback on your roster. But it can't just be for one practice. He's got to continue that over the next month.
Kyle, has anybody ever told you you are the voice doppelganger of Jared Sandler?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, okay. I've gotten that multiple times. And Jared hates it when people say that. I think it's a compliment because I love Jared, and we've worked together before. We've actually been on broadcast together back in the G League, and nobody could
like
tell
the
who
Spider-Man
was talking
meme.
Whenever. Yeah, nobody could tell who was talking when who was play-by-play and who was the color analyst at times. But no,
the longest
I love
broadcast
Jared, so
from one person in history.
It,
all right, let me ask you this. We've talked a lot about the OC. We've talked, and I don't want to get too much into the offensive side of it philosophy wise, because Shoddy's already said he's playing with the 7-iron the entire time. And as somebody who doesn't golf, I mean, I kind of get that reference. But my point is this: special teams. Okay, I mean, let's talk about it for just a split second. Brandon Aubrey, from everything we've heard, has looked good, not great in training camp. And, of course, you know, I don't think anybody in the history of football has ever talked about a punter in training camew special teams coach this year. anything to glean, and maybe we see a 65, 70-yard field goal from Brandon Aubrey tomorrow?
I mean, he did it in the preseason last year, right?
Yeah.
That was really where he shined the most. That was week two of the preseason against the Raiders last year, where he hit the 66, 67-yarder. I don't think there's anything to worry about with Aubrey or really anything to focus on. We talked to Nick Sorensen, the new special teams coordinator, and he takes the approach of if it isn't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And, I mean, he's stepping into a situation where he has an all-pro returner in Kevontae Turpin, he has an all-pro kicker in Brandon Aubrey, and he has a former Pro Bowl punter in Brian Anger, who's probably the leader of the group. And so even the other day in the joint practice, one of my practice points on what stood out, and this is both telling about the how the practice went and also telling about how much Brian Anger is still relevant, is I thought he had probably one of the better practices out of any Cowboy. I mean, he was hitting the ball well. It had plenty of hang time. Got it 60, 65 yards down the field multiple times. I mean, Brian Anger's still a guy to use as a weapon. So, I mean, it's so early that the kicking game isn't necessarily at the forefront of everything, but it's also a good thing for Cowboys fans because they don't have to worry about it nearly as much as maybe years past.
I know, Kyle, that the conversation all off season, and there's, you know, a lot of different ways to go about conversation, but it was culture for Schottenheimer the entire off season. I have to work on this. We need to build this because he wants it to be what his version of culture. When you watch his style of coaching out on the field, when you watch the way that he coaches, what do you see? Is it? Because we've heard, you know, Ben Johnson is very demanding. We've heard, you know, we hear a lot of these other coaches. We were talking about Pete Carroll the other day and how he said, look, there's guys that are very militant with their coaching style, and then there are guys that have another philosophy on getting these guys to work together. What have you noticed about the way he coaches this team in his first year?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is it's definitely not militant. Let's get that straight. It's not a military-esque type coaching style, and it's different than what Mike McCarthy even had over the last 5 years. It's hands-on, and he's very in the mix, whether it's the play calling element, whether it's the opportunity to talk with a lot of the guys in the individual drills. He's very hands-on, and he's very vocal with his coaching style, but it's from a lighter perspective. I don't want to say it's passive, but it's not very strict, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to feel it out because, I mean, of course, they haven't played anybody yet. We haven't seen what his coaching style on the sideline would necessarily be yet. So this could all change at the end of the day, and it might be because it's the first 3 weeks of the football season in general, and he's still trying to feel it out himself. But I would say it's a very hands-on approach compared to what we've seen from Mike McCarthy, who would – walk out after the teams came together and it was all 11 guys together and he would finally make his way out of the locker room. Brian Schottenheimer's in the mix. He's always around the football. He's always around his quarterbacks, his offensive guys. He's having constant conversation with his assistants and some of the support staff. So it's a hands-on approach, but it comes from a lighter element of how he's been leading these practices.
I do like hearing it's different because last year was a tough one to go through. Hopefully this one will be an absolute blast. First preseason game, getting rocking tomorrow. Kyle Yeomans, thank you very much, good sir, for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, there he goes, Kyle Yeomans. He does great work at DallasCowboys.com.
Yeah, he does.
And we will we talk with him every Friday. We're trying to figure out 12:40, 1 o'clock. We're trying to see where we land with that this year. Last year it was 1 o'clock every time, and it's always a blast. Fred, we got Kurt Miller from the Wings coming up here at 1:15. We're getting to talk to him. I know you got a very specific question
now.
You want to know
Come
about
now.
The WNBA
it's going nuts
and
nuts
what their plans are. But at the same time, we also have the Brian Schottenheimer press conference coming up in just a moment. We will get to that right here on 105.3 The Fan.